This is quite a complicated piece here, this Gemara. This is not simple and straightforward. It's the extension of the discussion that we had last week regarding moving the ladder and a whole range of views. And I tried to make things simple with the tables that you see on your sheet. I hope that it actually makes it simple. Anytime I look at a sheet like this, I start to wonder whether I've actually accomplished anything. But I think it does work. We'll have to see. Our Mishnah had presented a view about a machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai regarding moving a ladder from one shovach to another, from one dovecot to another. And what we had said in the Mishnah was that Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to move the ladder from dovecot to dovecot. You can only incline it from one window to another. And Beis Hillel says, no, you can move it from one dovecot to the next. And we had our discussion last week about Myers Ayin issues. Fine. The Gemara now is going to present a different view of what this machlokes Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai actually is, about where they debate and where they don't debate, based on a Tosefta. Masnisin, when we say Masnisin here, we mean our Mishnah. Delo ki haitana, it's the top line on Tesemet Beis, is not like the following Tana, this Sanya, as we learn in a Tosefta. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Modin Beis Shammai uBeis Hillel, Shemolichin es Hasula Mishovach L'Shovach. You thought in our Mishnah that there was a machlokas regarding moving the ladder from one dovecot to another? No, actually, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, they're good with that idea. Both of them believe that that moving the ladder from one dovecot to another is mutter. Lo nechleku ela lahachzir. The debate is about putting it back after you've already done it, right? Why would I distinguish between bringing it there and taking it back? What's the reason to be more lenient about bringing it there? I need to get the turkey for the yantif meal. There are no turkeys in a dovecot. The phrase goes, when turkeys fly. Taking the ladder from dovecot to get the bird is fine. The machlokas is right about, lahavzir, putting it back afterwards. Shebeis Shammai omrim ein machzirin. Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to put it back. Ubeis Hillel omrim af machzirin. And Beis Hillel says, yeah, you could even put the ladder back.
Put the purpose of putting the ladder back is to prepare it for after Yom?
So presumably not. Presumably the heter for putting it back would be because you are making it, because otherwise you may not do it in the first place.
So it's part of the simplest Yom.
Yeah, I think it's to assure that he'll actually do it in the first place. That's the idea. So according to this first view, we just got started. According to the first view in the Tosefta, which is the view of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, the machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is, as I put it on your table, the top table, Lashon HaTosefta, the debate is lahachzir, about putting the ladder back. But moving it from shovach to shovach, everybody agrees is mutter. That's Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's view. Then, we're on the fifth line on Tesamud Beis, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Bamedvar Mamurim, Rabbi Yehuda says, no. When is this true? When is this true? What you've just said regarding the debates and non-debates, where they agree and where they disagree. Besulam shel shovach. That's talking about a ladder that is designated for use with a shovach. Aval besulam shel aliyah, divya kol asur. But if it's a ladder that is dedicated for reaching the upper floors of a house, as in, if I wanted to fix a roof, that's the ladder I would use, and therefore we have a greater Maris Ayin concern. If that kind of ladder, then divya kol asur. Everybody will agree that it is prohibited. So if you take a look on your sheet at the first chart for Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says that he agrees with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. The debate is about returning it. The debate is not about bringing it there. But that's only regarding a dovecot ladder. If you're going to use an aliyah ladder, a ladder used for reaching upper floors as you would use to fix the roof, then us or doesn't matter what you're doing with your ladder. It doesn't matter whether it's to get the bird or to put it back. Doesn't make a difference.
Is he qualifying Shimon the Lover, or is he arguing?
So that is going to be exactly half of what complicates matters. There are two things that are going to complicate matters. One we're not ready for yet, but the first thing that's going to complicate things is the debate about whether he is explaining Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar or contradicting Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So we're going to get to that. You'll see that will be tables Bet and Gimel are going to be exactly that question. That's Rabbi Yehuda. And then we get the third view in the Tosefta, concluding the Tosefta. Rabbi Dosa Omer Matehu Mechalon Lachalon. Rabbi Dosa says that you are allowed to move the ladder from one window to another within the Davka, which we talked about in the Mishnah, remember, originally. Beis Shammai says, yeah, you can do that. So Rabbi Dosa says, you may do that. And Acherim Omer Mishum Rabbi Dosa Af Medadin Bo. And Acherim could be Rabbi Meir. He is sometimes known as Acherim because he was a student of Acher. It could be Rabbi Nasan. At the end of Horios, see the Horios or Croesus, I think it's the end of Horios, tells a story about how Rabbi Nasan gained the title of Acherim, or it could just be others. You find Tosfos noting sometimes that it isn't Rabbi Meir, it isn't Rabbi Nasan. So whoever this is says that Rabbi Dosa says you are even allowed to be medid the ladder. What that means is, as Rashi explains, if you take a look at Rashi, medadin bo, im hachalon rachok, if the window that you want to reach is far from where your ladder is, ve'en rosh hasula magia sham behataya, take out the word ba, probably, that's what the bach should do. Yeah, he takes out the word ba. And the top of the ladder, if you were to incline it to the other window, wouldn't reach, right? Bad idea. So, medadin raglo shasula ma'atma, you move the legs of the ladder a little bit by bit, and even though this is more visible to people, and it's more of a strain, I think there's that element also. Nonetheless, he says you're allowed to do it. That's Rabbi Dosa's position. So the second question that we're going to have to address is going to be the question of which ladder Rabbi Dosa is talking about. Is Rabbi Dosa talking about a Shovach ladder or an Aliyah ladder? So what we're going to do now in the Gemara, now having presented this Tosefta, which disagrees with our Mishnah, because our Mishnah said the debate was moving it from Shovach to Shovach. Our Mishnah didn't even discuss returning it, right? This Tosefta flatly disagrees with our Mishnah because it says the debate is on Lahachzir, returning it. But we now are going to spend pretty much the next 40 minutes trying to understand, first, Rabbi Yehuda, was he disagreeing with the Tanakhama, with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, or was he explaining him? And then asking Rabbi Dosa, what is he referring to? Which type of ladder is he referring to? Clear? Okay, so we start with a story. B'nei Rabbi Chia, Nafuk L'Kiryasa. The sons of Rabbi Chia went out to the villages. Right, Kirya is a small town of some kind. The
like Kiryat
Yoel, whatever. Kiryat Sefer, Kiryat Arba, yes. So, the Kiryat was the first one that came to mind, but yes. But if you take a look at Rashi, L'Kiryasa, he tells you, L'Kfarim L'Ros Seder Sehin. They went out to the villages, they wanted to see their fields, right? So, Kiasu, when they came home, Amar lehu avuhon, klum maisa bali yedchem. Their father, Rabbi Chia, says to them, tell me, did anything come up while you were out? Meaning any halakhic questions come up. Amrulo, and they said, yes, actually. Sulam bali yadeinu vihitarnuhu. The question of moving a ladder came to us, and we permitted it. And Rashi helps us out here by saying, sulam bali yadeinu means holachas sulam shel aliyah. L'shovach means using the Aliyah ladder. So that question came to us, and we said, it's fine. Go ahead, meaning doing this on Yom Tov. Amar Lehem, Rabbi Chia says to them, Tzu v'isru mashehitartem. He says, now go back and tell them that, oops, you made a mistake, because in fact, when you said it's mutter, what you actually meant to say was, it's usr. That's the story. So, what's going on here in this story? We're going to have two different versions of how this plays out. The first version of it, as we've said, is that they said you're allowed to move the Sulam Shel Aliyah, and then their father reversed them. So, in Hu Savur, Midka Amar Rabbi Yehuda Besulam Shel Aliyah Lo Pligi Michlal De Tanakama Savar Pligi. They thought that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that there's no machlokes if you're dealing with an aliyah ladder, right? Meaning the shovach ladder is the machlokes, the aliyah ladder, everybody says aser, right? So they thought that that's a disagreement with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, with the Tanakhama. And that the Tanakhama is going to say no, that the aliyah ladder is also either mutter or machlokes, not just the shovach ladder. That's what they thought. Or in other words, if you take a look at my chart Beis, that's the one you want to see. They thought that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's position is Sulam Aliyah is mutter from Shovach to Shovach, and the Machlokes is Lahavzir, and that Rabbi Yehuda says Sulam Aliyah is Aser, but Sulam Shovach is the one that's mutter and Machlokes. That they thought Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Are we clear on this? They thought that Rabbi Yehuda was disagreeing with the Shimon ben Elazar, and that we pasca like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. And that's why they said you can move the Sulam Shel Aliyah. That's what they thought. But the Gemara says, Valohi, it wasn't true. Rabbi Yehuda tamei de Tanakama kamafaresh. Rabbi Yehuda was simply explaining the Tanakama. So when Rabbi Yehuda says that both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai will prohibit use of the Aliyah ladder, that's the position of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar also. No one says that Beis Hillel or Beis Shammai is going to permit moving an Aliyah ladder, and therefore what they said to the people out in the villages was incorrect. That's the idea.
Plain matter.
Sorry?
I said a plain matter, not
yeah. So the Gemara asks, Mimai, well, how do you know that? Where's your evidence that Rabbi Yehuda is actually explaining Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and not disagreeing with Shimon ben Elazar? Maybe they're right.
What about the lashon, the general rules, the nedavarim, and when you say
Be'emes Amru.
Be'emes Amru, rather, or
Be'emes Amru, but here he didn't say that.
Or Be'emes Nedavarim, isn't that similar?
Can be, but I don't think it has to be.
And the fact that Omar is before the Tana and Abba versus after the Tana.
That would be if it was a straight-out disagreement about a halacha, right? But here he's... Right, when you have a straight-out disagreement about a halacha, in other words...
Oh, right, because you know, right, here you're saying that there's so many different possibilities, so it's possible...
Correct.
...that the Mechalek can say he agrees and he disagrees.
Yeah, I mean...
With one portion he agrees, obviously, and with one portion he disagrees. In other words, he agrees it's mutter, but not... with the kind of ladder that he thought that he would...
Right.
He would
I mean, the truth is I'd be more comfortable if the language was stronger as Machlokes language. Because Bamed Rama Murim does lend itself to say I'm simply explaining what was already there. When Rabbi Yehuda says, when is this true? The following case. It could sound like he's agreeing. Avapichein, the Gemara says, we're going to prove to you that it's not so. How? Mimai. Midiksani molichin es hasulam mishovach l'shovach. Because Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar talked about moving a ladder from one dovecot to another, right? Not moving it to a dovecot from scratch, but moving it from one dovecot to another. The Isak Adaitach Pesulam Shel Aliyah Pligi, if their debate, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, was regarding the Sulam Shel Aliyah, that even that couldn't be permitted, then Hay Molichin Es Hasulam Bishovach L'Shovach, he should have said moving the ladder to the shovach initially. He talked about moving a ladder from dovka to dovka. He didn't mention moving a ladder to a dovka. I'm sorry. The point is that if you're talking about a shovach ladder, right, then it makes sense to say you're moving it from one shovach to another. Because where does a shovach ladder live, so to speak? It lives by the shovachim. When you're not using it, it's propped up by some shovach. Your sulam shel aliyah, on the other hand, sits by the house. You use it for repairs all the time. It doesn't live by the dovecots. So if, in fact, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar was talking about an aliyah ladder, he would have said moving it to the dovecot. From the fact that he said moving it from one dovecot to another, he must be talking about a sulam shel shovach. That's the idea. Is that clear? Okay.
And therefore, a sulam aliyah, he would hold it to be aser.
That would be the upshot, correct. The like Rabbi Yehuda. So that's the argument that the Gemara wants to present. So the Gemara says, Elalav hachi ki amar. Rather, this must be the way it is said. Shall shovach in? Yes, you can move the shovach ladder. Shall aliyalo? But the upper floor one, you would not be allowed to move, like Rabbi Yehuda said, and like you have in chart Gimel on the sheet. So the Gemara says, that's a good point. Why didn't they know that? We figured that out. Why didn't Rabbi Chiya's sons figure that out? V'idach, what was the other side? What were they thinking? Mikatani sulam shel shovach. It doesn't say sulam shel shovach in the Tosafta. Mi shovach l'shovach katani. V'afil l'kama shovach. And it didn't say that it was a shovach ladder. It said you're moving it from one shovach to another. And the reason why it mentioned it was simply to say that you're allowed to move it from one shovach to another and to another and to another to many different shovachim. But it could be dealing with an aliyah ladder.
But if that logic makes sense, then you should extrapolate that there should not be a machlokes with any kind of ladder. Because if you're not going to be specific about the ladder, then the halacha should be uniform amongst all ladders.
What do you mean?
In other words, if what's causing you to determine that he didn't mention what kind of ladder it was, and therefore, because he could have, and therefore it means it's a ladder that was used for an aliyah, because it says Meshaylach L'Shaylach. He could have said it's a Shaylach ladder. But you could turn it on its end and say just the opposite. By the mere fact that...
No, what they're saying is that it's an aliyah ladder. This is what B'nai Rabbi Chiya...
Right, that it's an aliyah ladder.
Yeah.
Right? Because it could have said a shovel ladder. It didn't say it.
Well, is that what he said?
Yeah, I think that's what you said. It said...
No.
He says it's Meshovach L'Shovach.
No, I didn't think that was what their point was.
What's the point?
I think the point that was being made is that it didn't say Sulam Shel Shovach. It said from one shovach to another, which could just as easily refer to an aliyah ladder is going to be moved from one to another.
And just as easily one could say that, because what by this logic he says it could have said a shovach ladder, it didn't. So just as could have been an aliyah ladder, or you can take it even further. You can say since all we're describing is from one look from whether we're using moving the shovach to shovach. Or whether we're moving it to another location, right? Which is, or lahasir, which implies we're moving it.
We already got the bird,
right? So we're moving it where lahasir?
Back to the original shovach, or wherever it is.
So it's more mistaken. We're talking about a shovach ladder, because why would an aliyah ladder even be involved here? The fact that it's silent, I don't understand how silence proves.
Right. I don't think it's a matter of silence. I think it's a matter of having an additional way to interpret Bishovach L'Shovach and saying there's nothing here that tells me that it has to be a Shovach ladder. I don't think that it's really interpretation from silence. I think it's simply saying nothing. There's a fine line, but I think there is a difference. There's a difference between interpreting from silence and saying therefore it's any ladder, and simply saying the line that you brought that you think demonstrates the Shovach ladder doesn't demonstrate that to me.
And why can't you say by the fact that the Tanaim weren't specific in describing the kind of ladder it was, there should be no machlokas whether it's a Shovach ladder or an aliyah ladder. Like, why do we have to create a machlokas at all? Where do we see, in other words, where do we see we need to have a machlokas?
A machlokas between whom and whom?
Between a Shovach ladder and an aliyah.
Any distinction?
Yeah.
Well,
because the comes and says is
that was Rabbi Yehuda's statement, yeah.
Yeah, but Rabbi Yehuda's statement can easily just be interpreted as qualified.
I mean, you're right that you
and
could say that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar doesn't distinguish.
It is because Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar doesn't specify the kind of letter. That's
right.
The proof that he's coming to qualify.
Right. And that's what they thought. But that's what they thought. They thought the other way.
The other way. That we're going to be.
They thought that Rabbi Yehuda is disagreeing with Shimon Elazar. The response is that Rabbi Yehuda is explaining Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. They are in fact on the same page, because, and our evidence of it is that the language that was used was from one shovach to another, which indicates it's a sulam shovach. And that's what he's talking. That's what Rabbi Shimon Elazar was talking about. And the sons of Rabbi Chiya say there's absolutely no reason for us to assume that he was talking about a shovach ladder. that Rabbi Shimon Elazar was talking about Shabbat ladder. His language didn't indicate one way or the other. So we assumed that he was talking about Sulam Shalali, and Rabbi Yehuda was disagreeing with him. That's the idea.
But that's how the Bnei Yechi, why the Bnei Yechi came to their conclusion.
Yeah. Well, within the first version of it. So the first version of this, in order to make sure that we get this down, the first version of this is that there was a misunderstanding about what Rabbi Yehuda was trying to accomplish. That according to Rabbi Chiya's sons, what they thought was that Rabbi Yehuda was actually disagreeing with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. That Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar was saying that it's the Sulam Shel Aliyah is actually where the debate happens. And even there, then Beis Hillel is going to be lenient. And Rabbi Yehuda was saying, no, Sulam Shel Aliyah, that's a real Maariv Zayin consideration. No way. The debate is only regarding the Sulam Shel Shovach, which had less of a Maariv Zayin concern. That was what they thought. Whereas, the conclusion is, no, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Yehuda are on the same page. The Sulam Aliyah is off limits. And it's only the Sulam Shovach that is the Machlokas, Beis Hillel, and Beis Shammai. That's the idea. That's all one version of this. The other version of what happens with Rabbi Chiya's kids is that it was about Rabbi Dosa that there was a debate. What they permitted was not what we thought they permitted. This is the second version of what's going on. Ika de Amri. And once you got what we just said, everything else is easy. So, yeah. Ika de Amri. Alternatively, Amru lo, the sons of Rabbi Chiya, again, the same story, they went out to the Kiryas Arba, came back, the father asked them what happened, they told him, Hitoi sulam shel aliyah balia deinu v'hitarnuhu. The question that came up was inclining a ladder of aliyah, this ladder that we generally are not fans of. The question was inclining it, which Rashi explains. If you see Rashi, Hitoi sulam shel aliyah, Rashi writes, V'halichu l'shovach mi ba'od yom. It was brought to the Shovach before Yom Tov started. Okay, V'halichu l'shovach mi ba'od yom. The ladder had been brought to the Shovach. It was an aliyah ladder. It doesn't belong at the Dovkats. Someone had brought it there before Yom Tov. And the question was, now that it's there, are we allowed to incline it from one window to another? Remember that in the Tosefta, Rabbi Dosa said, yes, you are allowed to incline. He didn't say what ladder. But his answer was, yes, you are allowed to incline it from one window to another. So they said, that's what we permitted, just with a Sulam Shel Aliyah. So Amar Lahem, to which their father replied, Se'uve Yisru Mashay Tartem. Now go out and tell them it was Asr. What was the debate? In Husavur, Maidika Asr Tanakama Kashari Rabbi Dosa. Okay, here the Gemara is going to play a game, and you have to catch the game. So fortunately for you, I read ahead, and therefore I can help with this. Tanakama means what?
Doesn't mean Rishma Lazar here.
Correct. Tanakama means the first Tana, right? That's what the words mean. So Tanakama, often when you open up a Mishnah, means the first voice to appear in the Mishnah. However, if you're dealing with a Machlokes, it doesn't have to mean the first person to appear. It could mean the one that someone was debating with. Meaning, if you look back at our Tosefta, we had three voices: Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Dosa. So Rabbi Dosa's Tanakama could be Rabbi Yehuda. And in fact, that's what's going on when it says Tanakama here. The way to read it is, in Husavur they thought, Maidika Asar Tanakama, meaning Rabbi Yehuda, Kashari Rabbi Dosa. They thought that when Rabbi Yehuda said Asur, that's what Rabbi Dosa was permitting. In other words, if you look at chart Dalid on the sheet, Rabbi Dosa says, they thought, right, this is the Hava Amina. They thought that Aliyah ladder is mutter per Rabbi Dosa,
right,
against Rabbi Yehuda, who said Aliyah ladder is usser. Right, the lines that I underlined are where the machlokes would be. You follow? That's what they thought. However, velohi, it's not so. Maida kashari tanakama ka usser Rabbi Dosa. It was actually that which the tanakama, meaning Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, permitted, which was the Sulam Shel Shovach. That which the Tanakama permitted, that was the one for whom Rabbi Dosa said Asur, unless it's talking about doing it from window to window. Right? In other words, this is an important point which I probably did not state clearly enough before. When Rabbi Dosa says you're allowed to move a ladder from one window to another.
Yeah, okay.
Right? From one window to another. What do you think his position is about moving it from one davka to another?
Yes.
Really? Different answer. Try again. If he says you're allowed to move it from window to window, what do you think he believes about shovach to shovach?
Oh, sir.
You can tell. Usher.
Right.
If you can tell me I'm allowed to do the major movement from one shovach to another, then you don't need to tell me I'm allowed to move it from one window to another within the dovkot. If someone needs to tell me you're allowed from one window to another, then that means you're not allowed to from one shovach to another. That's the idea. So Rabbi Dosa was not coming to be more lenient than Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, nothing doing with a Sulam Aliyah. And Rabbi Dosa says, yes, you are allowed to move the Sulam Aliyah from window to window. That's not the way to read it. Rather, what he's really saying is, the Tanakhama told me that you're allowed to move the Sulam Shovach from window to window. From window to window, from Shovach to Shovach. I believe you're not allowed to. You're only allowed to move it from window to window.
He's possibly not Bishamai.
He is. Well, no, he's even stricter. He's stricter than Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar altogether. No, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel permit Shovach to Shovach. Rabbi Dosa says he's got it wrong. The whole thing is wrong. He said, as the Gemara says.
Because the Mishnah seems to say, Ein Malach Yisrael Mishnah.
Yes, we are entirely off of our Mishnah.
Right, after Mishnah.
That's how we started today. Okay. We said our Mishnah has a different view of what's going on.
Okay. Right.
So he says, Velohi, Maida Kashari Tanakama, that which the Tanakama permitted, meaning moving the Sulam Shel Shovach from Shovach to Shovach, Ka'asa Rabbi Dosa, that's what Rabbi Dosa was prohibiting, Shovach to Shovach, and he was permitting one window to another. But the point is it was Sulam Shovach, which means that there's nobody who is going to permit Sulam Aliyah.
Yeah.
That's the key point. Even Rabbi Shimon Elazar did not, and Rabbi Dosa did not. Rabbi Yehuda certainly did not, because he explicitly prohibited it. That's the idea. So that's what Rabbi Dosa prohibited. So that's the way to read this Gemara. The second version of what happened is that it was a misunderstanding of Rabbi Dosa's position. They thought Rabbi Dosa was reversing Rabbi Yehuda's Isser. In fact, he was actually reversing the Tanakhama, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's heter. You follow?
Right.
That's the idea. So I didn't want to dwell on this because it's confusing enough as it is. To start now going into it with ins and outs, I felt we had a pretty solid grasp of the case, and we've got our tables in case we forget, and it's time to go weiter.
Probably should just fill in the table. Hey,
yeah, I thought about that.
Sulam Aliyah, just for clarity, because although nowhere did we have in this whole process an assumption that a Sulam Aliyah. Oh no, we did.
Well, no. What I would do.
Assumption: Sulam Aliyah could be mutter, right?
Yeah. No. No
one was willing to say that.
Yeah. I mean, Rabbi Bey did in their Havamina in Bey's.
Right.
They thought that the Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar was saying the Sulam Aliyah was fine.
Right.
But what I should fill in really is the box where I have the dashes for Rabbi Dosa, that in chart Hay, Rabbi Dosa will say that Mishovach Leshovach
is
Usser. Is Usser.
Right. I see, yeah.
That's really what he should be saying. I don't know what he would say about Lahachzir, although presumably if he's not going to allow you to move it from one Shovach to another to get the bird, he's going to say Usser for you to Lahachzir also. There's no reason for him to permit it. So this would also be Sulam Shovach Usser. So yeah, that's true. That's worth updating. Is to say in Hay, the Isser explicitly. Okay, good. Fine. So that concludes, though, the latter discussions. But remember, the latter discussions are part of a much bigger picture. Remember how we got into this whole bit about the latter with the previous Mishnah? This is fundamentally going to be a discussion. I mean, to a certain extent, we're in this mess because of Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. We're just bringing a series of debates from Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. But what we've triggered is a series of discussions regarding actions you're going to engage in on Yom Tov, which should be Usser, but we're going to be lenient because of Simchas Yom Tov. And what we're actually going to see is a series of cases. If you look at your sheet, the bottom table that I brought you, you'll see there that we are now in the middle of six cases in which there's a debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel as to whether we are lenient for the sake of Simchas Yom Tov. The first case was Kisui Adam, where you didn't have dirt available. That was our opening Mishnah. Our second case is Hazazat Sulam, moving the ladder. And then we're going to see four more cases yet in this discussion. So we ain't done. But that's where we're going with this discussion, is the question of whether we are lenient for the sake of Simchas Yom Tov in these cases. Okay? That's where we're going. So, take a look in the Gemara then. We said you're allowed to incline the ladder from one window to another. So the Gemara says, Alma, we see, Gavei Simchas Yom Tov, Beis Shammai L'chumra, Ubeis Hillel L'kula. We see that when it comes to Simchas Yom Tov, Beis Shammai is the strict one, Beis Hillel is the lenient one. Now, did the Gemara really need to say that?
Only because there's an exception, but normally that's the case. Normally
Beis Shammai is always strict. The only reason our Gemara says this is because we're going to now show you a whole bunch of cases that don't look like that, that seem to indicate that Beis Hillel is the strict one and Beis Shammai is the lenient one. So that's why the Gemara needs to set this up, because of what's coming next. Vrimini, right? Vrimini is always a question in which I have a source that I'm going to throw at another source. Rami, remember, is an Aramaic verb meaning to throw. So we're throwing one source at another. Vrimini. Hashochit chayav of biyom tov. You should be familiar with this. Yishecht either a chaya or a bird, meaning a creature requiring that you cover the dam on yom tov, and you don't have the dirt available. Beis Shammai omim yachpor bedekar v'yachase. Beis Shammai says that you dig with a spade and you cover it up. Ubeis Hillel omim lo yishchot elam kin hayelo ofer muchon mibaod yom. Beis Hillel says nothing doing. No shechita unless you had dirt ready. So there, it's a Simchas Yom Tov concern. And Beis Shammai is the lenient one. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Muchlefes Hashita. Rabbi Yochanan says you have to reverse the names. Okay? Reverse the views here. What is being reversed? Are we reversing the views regarding Kisui Hadam? Or are we reversing the views in the latter case? So if you take a look at Rashi...
Why would we even think, based on the general cloud...
What is?
That Beis Hillel is Meikil, and Beis Shammai is Machmir, that we would think of the other way. I mean, if we have that general cloud, we would always think, if we're going to be Machlefes, we should be Machlefes to make Beis Shammai consistent with where he normally is. We should be Machmir, because we have them.
So, in other words, you think reverse our original Mishnah?
I mean, L'chora, if we just finished saying that Beis Shammai is always Machmir, the reason the Gemara set this up is to tell you, because we're going to find a case where it's different. So if we want to reconcile it, we should say our Mishnah should be.
Could we have a Beis Shinoza? They also want to ask that question. Should we reverse it? Wasn't there Mandomber? Okay. Wasn't there money on
that? What? Beis Shinoza. That we should reverse it also.
Right. Wasn't there?
I don't remember right now. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi plays a trick on you. Muchlefes Hashita. Kan Huchlefashita San Vitzarach Lafoch Divrehen. Here their positions are reversed, and therefore you have to reverse their views. What's here? What does Kan mean? I don't know. I don't know what Khan means. I'm stuck, except that I'm not stuck because I'm going to read the rest of the Gemara. But and it'll be made clear from the rest of the Gemara. But here it's like, you know, almost like, what did you add by saying this? Like what was accomplished by reversing this? So I'll have to see. Watch the next line of the Gemara, and then we're going to come back to Rashi. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Muchlefes Hashita. The Gemara says, Mimai, what's your basis for saying that we reverse the views? Well, how do you know to reverse the views? Dilma, perhaps, ad kan lo ka amri Beis Shammai hasam, elahecha di'ika deker na'utz. Maybe Beis Shammai only made the statement that they made in the Mishnah, meaning to be lenient, because there was a spade stuck in to the ground, and therefore you were able to pull it out and get the ashes, the way the dirt, the way we talked about.
Right.
But if you don't have a spade stuck in the ground, Beishamai will say, Asur. In other words, don't assume that Beishamai is being lenient for Simchas Yom Tov. He may not be lenient for Simchas Yom Tov.
He's
being lenient because he has an out.
Right.
And how would and if you make that assumption, what would Beis Hillel hold in such a machlokas? That Beis Hillel would take a hold Asur if it was a deck or notes?
That Beis Hillel is going to say Asur.
Why?
So you...
He's always going...
But you have to, because they have a machlokas. You can't dismiss the machlokas. You have to say Beis Hillel would hold Asur.
Yeah.
Which is nice to help you out from the point of view of Beis Shammai, but you're not creating the big problem you have Beis Hillel. You can ask the same kashi you just finished asking on Beis Shammai. You can ask on Beis Hillel.
Yeah.
Making Beis Hillel a big machmir.
Correct. Or we can go the other way. Look. Ve'inami, or if you want, I can say... Ad kan lo ka'amri Beis Hillel hacha, ela d'shovcha mochiachala. Maybe Beis Hillel really is machmir, and he would be machmir in the latter case too. The only reason he's lenient regarding the ladder is because you have a dovecot up there, and that's where you're putting the ladder. And so no one's going to suspect you of fixing a roof, because everyone sees what you're doing with the ladder. So that's why Beis Hillel is lenient here. Maybe Beis Hillel is strict down the line on Simchas Yom Tov, and he's only lenient here because there's really no Maris Ayin consideration. It's the equivalent of, to use the case we cited last week, putting out the shells from the almonds to show that this is almond milk. Right? My ladder is there. There's a dove cut. You know, you think I'm fixing my roof? Maybe that's his position. Abul Hasam lo. But there, not meaning in the case of Kisui Adam, there he will not be lenient. So what he's saying is, don't pit these two cases against each other. They're not necessarily contradictory. It is entirely possible for you to believe that Beis Shammai is lenient for Simchas Yom Tov. I'm sorry. It is entirely possible for you to argue that Beis Shammai is strict for Simchas Yom Tov and happen to be lenient over there because he was describing a case where you had a way to deal with the problem. And it is entirely possible to argue that Beis Hillel is strict when it comes to Simchas Yom Tov, and the only reason he was lenient in the latter case is because you had an out, because you didn't have Maris Ayin considerations. You could argue that either one is really strict regarding Simchas Yom Tov. So therefore, you don't have to play the Mukhlefes Hashita game. Now, go back to Rashi, please. We might do Mukhlefes. How do you know that the views are reversed? So Rashi says, meaning, why does this have to be difficult for Biochanan? Dilma tamayu de Beishamai hasam, mishum de ika deker notes. Maybe Beishamai's reasoning over there was simply because you have the spade stuck in, but leket sad iser, and there is no iser. There in fact is no iser in handling it, even though we said that Beis Hillel is not going to allow it. Aval hecha de leka decker notes, but if there is no spade stuck in the ground, Rashi continues, de ika tzad remez chafira, so there is an element of digging, lo sharu, they won't permit, vafilu vafer tichoach, and even if it's in the loose earth that we had talked about, shu kechofor vaomed, where it's like it's already dug, vahachanami loshna, and here too it's no different, daha ika chashada delatiach kago, because there is concern that people are going to suspect him, so Beis Shammai will be consistent. What I got out of these Rashis when I read it before, now I'm actually wondering a little bit, but what I got out of these Rashis before is that Rashi's view is that Mukhlefes Hashita means that flip the discussion regarding Kisui Hadam in the original Mishnah, which is what Shaya wanted to say, as opposed to flipping the discussion here, flip the discussion regarding Kisui Hadam, so that Beis Hillel will end up being the... if I flip the discussion...
If you flip it by Kisui Hadam, then Beis Hillel comes back to be a Meikil.
To be a Meikil. Correct.
Right.
Then Beis Hillel will come out... Right, that's right. Beis Hillel will come out to be a Meikil down the line. That's what I would like to end up with my Mukhlefes Hashita. But then he says, there's nothing forcing you to do that. You could argue Beis Hillel is strict down the line. You could argue Beis Shammai is strict down the line. You could actually make the argument either way. Now, our Gemara is going to go into more cases, but there's a Tosfos here who has a discussion about what it is that we are flipping. If you see this Tosfos, Amar Yochanan Mukhlefes Hashita. So we're not quite up to what he's going to do with this. So I'm not going to have us read the Tosfos inside right now, because we won't get to his whole, won't get through his question. We'll understand his answer. But what Tosfos is going to say is that what we are reversing. Well, let me leave the Tosfos. Let me not. Well, when we're ready for the Tosfos, we'll go through the Tosfos. Better to do it that way. But that, I think, is the way to read with Rashi, that he's saying reverse kisui hadam. So the Gemara says, okay, we throw out that case as proof. Ella, we are now on the first of the wide lines. Ella ikasha hakasha. If I have a problem, then my problem is the following case. You couldn't prove anything from the latter discussion, because we could read that either way. But maybe we could bring proof from the following case. Beishamai omrim lo yitol elen kein ne'anea miba'od yom. This is something the Gemara is going to come back to. I am not allowed to take a bird to Shecht on Yom Tov unless I felt the bird, literally moved the bird, before Yom Tov. And the idea is that this is a form of designation that removes its mukta status. There's also an issue of doing that in order to make sure that it's actually plump enough for your meal. You don't want to come into Yom Tov thinking that you have enough food and then find out on Yom Tov that it's actually a scrawny bird and people are going to go hungry. So therefore, we're going to make sure that you're going to feel the bird in advance. And that's a discussion the Gemara is going to have on the bottom of the Yudam Aleph. But the point here is, Beis Shammai says, you have to move the bird before Yom Tov. Ubeis Hillel Omrim, Omeid Veomer Zeva Zeani Notel. Bissell says, no, you just stand by the thing before Yom Tov, and you say, I'm taking that one, I'm taking that one, I don't need to handle the bird. End of quote. So, who's more lenient? Right? Beis Hillel is the lenient one, right. So, Alma, we see, Gabi Simchas Yom Tov, Beis Shammai L'chumra, Ubeis Hillel L'kula. Regarding Simchas Yom Tov, Beis Shammai is the strict one. Go back now to Kisui Adam. Very many Ashochet Chayiva Of Yom Tov. They're not going to walk us through the entire discussion. What are you going to do? He says, with the discussion about Kisui Adam, where Beis Hillel was the strict one. So Rabbi Yochanan Mukhlefes Hashita. Rabbi Yochanan once again says reverse it. To which the Gemara says, not so fast. The Dilmalawi, it may not be so. Ad kam lo gamri Beis Shammai ela hecha deika deker. No, it's maybe Beis Shammai was lenient in the Kisui Adam case only because he had the spade stuck in the ground. Aval hecha deika deker. No, it's low. But otherwise, Beis Shammai would be strict. Inami, alternatively, ad kam lo gamri Beis Hillel hacha. Maybe Beis Hillel was only lenient here. Ela kamen demuktzahu. But omei v'omer zevazani no telsagi. The reason Beis Hillel was lenient here is because it made sense. Because the whole discussion was simply a muktzah consideration. Muktzah consideration? You get rid of it by simply saying, poof, this isn't muktzah. Right? Muktzah is a problem of, we've talked about it before, the item was set aside from use. It was not meant to be used. So, I say, I mean to use it, and now it's no longer muktzah. Aval hasam lo. But in the other case, he didn't have an out, in the case of Kisui Adam. So he says, don't prove anything for me from that discussion either. And therefore, you don't need to do the Mukhlefes Hashita thing. You do not need to reverse it. So the Gemara says, all right, I'll bring you another case. This is now the case of Hishtamshus Be'eli on the table, right? We're at the fourth of the six cases, working from right to left. Ela Ikashya HaKashya. So if there is a question, it's the following. Beishamai Omrim, a notlin esa eli lekatsev olav basar. This is also something we're going to see later in the Masechta. Beishamai says they had a block called an eli. It was a big, as Rashi says, daf of the kaved. It was a thick, heavy block. And Rashi explains, vekotshin bochitim, they would crush wheat on it, letargis vitisni, for targis and tisni. Tisni is cracked wheat. They use for this.
Sugar pops.
No, there's an Iraqi dish. There's an Iraqi dish which has an analog. I'm blanking on what it is. It might be kubba. Does anybody know how to make kubba? No Sephardim here? I believe it's kubba that they use cracked wheat for. But in any case, tisni, figures into it. But it's the point is that this is a block of some kind on which you're going to smash the grain. You're not using this to cut meat normally. So come Yom Tov, it's muktzah, because you're not allowed to crush the grain on Yom Tov. So Beis Shammai says, "A notlin esa eli lekatze v'alav baser." Beis Shammai says the block is muktzah. You can't use that for cutting meat. Ubeis Hillel matir, and Beis Hillel says, "No, you're allowed to." End of quote. Alma gabe simchas Yom Tov Beis Shammai lachumah Beis Hillel lachula. So you see, Beis Shammai is strict. No moving the block. Beis Hillel says, "No, you are allowed to." Once again, very many. What are you going to do with Kisui Adam? Hashochik Chayev Ha'ov Beis Shammai v'chulei, right? The Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to do that. So the Gemara says, Dil Mimai, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mukhlef HaShita. So Rabbi Yochanan once again wants to reverse the views, and again, we'll assume he means reverse the Kisui Adam view. Mimai, but on what basis do you say that? Dil Maloi, maybe not. Maybe Beis Shammai only said that there because he had an out in the Kisei Adam case. He's strict regarding Simchas Yom Tov. But if there isn't the spade stuck in the ground, then no. Inami, alternatively, Ad kan lo ka'amri Beis Hillel hacha. Maybe Beis Hillel would not be lenient here. Ela de'ika taras kli alav. Except that this is fundamentally a kli. It's not a full muktza, right? A full muktza is something that is useless. This is not useless. This is what we call a kli shemlachto leiser, right? It's a kli that's normally used for prohibited purposes. What's the rule with a kli shemlachto leiser? If I want to move it letzorech gufo to use it itself for a permitted purpose, that's 100% fine. Right, the classic discussion, you take a hammer on Shabbos to smash nuts. The answer is yes. But it's normally used for hitting nails, klishamachal iser. Yeah, but it's letzarach gufo, it's to use it for a permitted purpose. So the same thing should be true here regarding the Eli, Beis Hillel says. Frankly, I don't know what Beis Shammai's position is. And so obviously fine. That's why Beis Hillel is good here, aval hasamla, but maybe in general for Simchas Yom Tov, Beis Hillel is going to be strict. So therefore you can't prove anything from this case either. You follow? Each time we're showing that that case is not necessarily good for demonstrating a general rule because it has some quirk which will drive Beis Hillel to leniency. Got it? So we still have a couple more cases, but I think I'm going to pause with that because there's a lot to see on this discussion about being lenient for Simchas Yom Tov. So we'll pick up with that, God willing, next week.
Which is a month.